Allow me to introduce you to a few new faces around here this morning. This is Stan. Stan is a T-Rex. This is Bunker. Bunker is a Tylosaur. And there's a whole bunch of other old fossils that are both down in the Family Life Center and back at the bookstore table back there. So, and by that I mean Ryan and Bob. Matt's up here. Those old fossils are. You get that probably everywhere you go, don't you? So. Creation Truth Foundation is here with us today. If you were here for Sunday school, you got to hear a few of the updates that Matt has shared. Some of you I know were down in the Family Life Center taking a look at the fossils and touring all that. They're going to be here the first part of this week through Wednesday evening. Matt is going to share the message with us this morning. And so, Matt, I'm going to turn it over to you. Matt Miles, President of Creation Truth Foundation.
Good morning, church. It is a privilege to be back with you. Realize it's been a couple years since I've been here, and we brought extra fossils this time. We've expanded. Those of you that missed out on Sunday school, we've expanded our fossil collection, our mobile museum of Earth history. And so what you guys get to go see down in the gym is the world's largest traveling fossil museum, secular or Christian, okay? Ryan's been scouring the internets. He came across a group in Germany that has a traveling exhibit, but it doesn't travel like every weekend. It like goes and sets up for 9 months at a museum. That's not traveling. There's a group in Australia that has that, right? Australia, Ryan? Right? Yeah, that has a traveling museum. Nah. So what you get to see? They're all for the glory and honor of the Lord, okay? I need you to understand my take on dinosaurs, okay? Our fossil museum is here for you to bring your friends, family members to, all the above, but the goal is to share this. So if and when you bring them this week, your friends, family members, that don't have any clue about the Bible, invite them, say, hey, I got dinosaurs at church. One, they're going to be like, what? Dinosaur jerk, what are you talking about? No, really, got a whole museum. When you get them here, then ask them thoughts about dinosaurs in the Bible. And they're going to be like, what? The message this morning will prep you. Are you ready? Okay. This morning's message is entitled Biblical Worldview and Dinosaurs. In my worldview, as of about 26 years ago now, if somebody would have said to me, dinosaurs are in the Bible or have anything to do with the Bible, I would have went, you sure about that? See, worldview is this. Worldview is the set of beliefs you have. It's the set of beliefs you have that you use then to guide and direct and read and study and see and whatever the case may be in your life. Our ministry, Creation Truth Foundation, we're all about trying to teach folks, listen, we can trust this book. This book should impact every aspect of your life, every aspect of your worldview, how you see everything. That includes dinosaurs. Now again, before like 26 years ago, I did not have a biblical understanding of dinosaurs. Here was my view. I trust the Word of God. If somebody were to ask me what's the history in the Word of God, like how long has the earth been here? Like when did Genesis chapter 1 start in history? Like when did that happen? Honestly, don't know that I could have told you. Bear in mind, I'm a Bible college graduate at that point. So now some of you are like, well, he just wasn't paying attention in class. You know what? I can go back in my notes. We very rarely even touched on that. What? Yeah, very rarely. Worldview matters. Worldview that you have of what you trust. What is authoritative in your life? Do you trust this in everything? even the history. See, I've been here before, and I've given a little test before, but I'm gonna do it this morning as well. This is a gorilla, and this is a man, right? The worldview question I often will ask with these two pictures is this. Which of these is a primate? See, that's a worldview question. Depending on what you've studied in your life, depending on your belief system, depends on how you answer that question. Which of these is a primate? I need you to understand, the Word of God, don't miss tonight and tomorrow night. So we're gonna go through creation, the first chapter of Genesis. We're going to go over the details that are in there. Because what we're going to find out is, in case you haven't been told or you haven't studied it for yourself yet, we are not primates. Listen to me. Don't care what the zoo sign says. Don't care. I don't care what the biology textbook says. I want you to care first and foremost what this says. We're going to study tomorrow night, when we get to day six, tomorrow night, the sixth day of history, we're going to read a very important little phrase. He's going to finish the animal kingdom, and he's going to say it is good. That means perfect and complete. I'm just giving you, this is, you're going to get bonus points because you're already going to know that by the time we get back tonight. Good means perfect, complete. He finishes the animal kingdom before he makes us. Guess what we're not a part of according to the Word of God? The animal kingdom. We're not a part of it. You can have that view. You can have that worldview. You're welcome to that worldview. Not what this says. See, I want you to know what this says because I want you to know about Christ. So worldview test number two. Now, often I will give this test. See, some of you are sitting here thinking, what does a chicken have anything to do with a dinosaur? Because at present, it's being taught that the chicken, some of you may have here in just an hour or two. The chicken you're going to have, it's being taught today. Grandparents, focus. Great-grandparents, extra focus. I have to say that. You know why I have to say that? Because I have people all the time come to Ryan and I go, there's no way my grandkids have ever heard this. Here's what they're hearing. Those dinosaurs, Mr. T-Rex, this kind of dinosaur, did not go extinct. It evolved into, take a guess, chickens. Chicken. Grandparents, focus. Go ahead. Ask your grandkids or your great-grandkids. Like, call them up. Here's your excuse to talk with them this afternoon. You ready? Call them up. They'd be like, Grandma, what's going on? I'm like, I got a question for you. Have you heard anything about dinosaurs evolving into, like, becoming a chicken? Guarantee it. Brian, can I guarantee this? They've heard it. Even though we're going to sit here right now and go, what? Like, it's literally being taught everywhere. Everywhere. So I'm going through a museum. The summer after I was here last, I'm going through a museum. I'm on my way to camp in Montana. And in the museum, I see this. This is a dinosaur attacking another dinosaur. I'm walking through this museum, and I'm like, what is that? That's a Deinonychus. Now, that's not hair. Those are feathers. Now, when you read the sign that's right below the model right there, that's a model. Guess what they don't have in the fossil record? That dinosaur with feathers. Don't have it. Like, that literally is never found anywhere on the planet, that dinosaur with feathers. On the sign, it even states that. Even though we haven't found them with feathers, we know because they're this kind, they would have had feathers. No, we don't. This gets my blood pressure. Can you tell that this gets... I'm in this museum. I'm alone. I'm on my way to camp. I'm alone in a museum. I'm with a bunch of families and stuff, and I'm walking around the corner, and I see him. My brain immediately goes to this. Like, that's my worldview. Hello? Worldview impacts things. Like, immediately I'm like, that's Joe Dirt Dinosaur. That's what my brain said. That's like an 80s rocker dinosaur. That's where my brain went. I was just like, wow. And I'm looking at the students, the kids with their parents walking around. I'm like, and I'm hearing out of several of them, I'm just kind of listening, right? I'm hearing them tell their parents about some of them evolved into, guess what? Chicken. It's always chicken. What's a bigger bird than a chicken?
Ostrich.
Like, why not an ostrich? Like why a chicken? That's my question is, why a chicken? Like, why? There's a better bird. I mean, if you're going to make up a story of something evolving into something, why would you go with chicken? Like, why not an ostrich? Listen to me. It's always chicken. Chicken. Worldview. Tonight and tomorrow night, as we cruise through the first chapter, there are some here this morning that may have an evolutionary worldview. This Big Bang idea. Maybe because that's all you've ever heard. That's all you've ever studied. Listen, I want to challenge you this week. That's why I'm here. I want to challenge you. Listen, I want to challenge you just come with an open ear and an open mind for like the next four nights. Play like you've never heard or studied anything else other than the Word of Bible, than the Word of God. Just you've never studied anything else. I want you to see and to hear whether science can support this book. That's what I want you to see and hear. Because the by and large, the media and others, academia, want to tell us that this book is not compatible with science. And that's simply not true. There's some that we come across that say, well, listen, I believe in the Lord. I believe He created everything. He just did it by an evolutionary idea. I need you to look at the screen for a second. I need you to notice that there's a difference in order of things. The purely evolutionary worldview order of things is different than the order in which the Lord said He did it. Again, not to get into tonight. It's where we're going tonight. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to come. See what the Lord said He did. Because there's an important part, if we're going to talk biblical worldview and trusting the Word of God, there's a phrase. There's a phrase that I want to pound into you if you've never heard this phrase before. Kaye nefesh. Say it with me. Kaye nefesh. Okay, that was horrible. Come on. Kaye nefesh. Like this is Hebrew for living creature. Turn with me. Genesis chapter 1. Come on. We're going to be here tonight, but I'm just setting some things up this morning. I want you in verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. Are you there on your phone? Paper. Paper's still good. Still is. Paper is much easier to write notes in. Paper is much easier to write notes in, okay? Do you see living creatures? Verse 20. God said, let the water teem with living creatures. You see that phrase? In the Hebrew, it's, say it with me, kaye nefesh. It means blood-containing animated life. Day 5 and day 6 gets this kind of life created. When were plants made? Third day. Yes, very good. You were getting there. I saw it. Third day. Guess what phrase doesn't get used with living plants? Kai and Nefesh. Not used with them. As much as we call them living, we'll go over this tonight. As much as we say they're living, they reproduce, they're living, right? They die. Right? As much as we say that, to the Lord, totally different scenario. Not blood-containing, not living in the sense of the animal kingdom or us. Totally different. I didn't know that 20-some years ago. Didn't acknowledge that, didn't have that in my worldview. Didn't understand that the Bible makes a distinction with this blood thing. Have you studied the Bible long enough to understand that blood is a really, really important thing in life and in spiritual life? So Kai and Nefesh, pretty important. See, all we ever hear about history is this. We have these stacks of rocks all over the planet. We have stacks of rocks. Who's heard stacks of rocks? Seriously, like six of you. Every one of us have heard this, whether we were paying attention or not. So everybody just not. How many have heard of it? Yeah, oh yeah, we've heard of that. Yeah, and so on. Okay, I'm not asking you to repeat it on a test. Just relax. Easy. See, there's these named layers, this geologic column thing. We all learn it at some point. We've seen it in a museum, whatever. It's roughly supposed to be 550-ish million years of history. That's what's taught to us. It's what we see. Before 20 plus years ago, before I met Dr. Sharp, before my worldview was impacted, I kind of went, yeah, maybe. Like I didn't have any answer to go, oh yeah, that can't be right. Now listen to me. I trust this. I trusted this to be true. I mean, like, this is where my worldview started. But again, if somebody asked me about my history of the world, I'm like, it's probably old. I didn't have a good answer. Again, I don't know that I could have given you an answer for what this said it was. Just spoiler alert, this says 6,000 years, that's it. 6,000, that's it. That's what this says. Is that different than that? 6,000 different than 550 million. Wait, how old's the Earth? What have you heard? How old's the Earth? What have you been taught? Students. Come on. What's the date you've heard? What's the date for the whole Earth? Not just the geologic column. What's the whole Earth? Come on. Come on, students. This is the time to get a star. Especially if you have a teacher in here. You're like, I don't want to answer because my teacher isn't here. I'm going to get it wrong. Okay. 4.54 to 4.56. Those numbers, yeah, we're seeing 6 now. 5.6. I don't know where the 6 comes from. I don't know. 4.54 billion years old. That's how old the Earth is. That's what we're being taught. Guess what? Did you know that the Earth does not have a tag hanging on it that says 5.4 billion years old? You know how I know? Because we just went around the moon and I was watching all the pictures of the Earth. There's no tag. No tag hanging off the... That's an Artemis joke. Okay. All right. There's no tags on these little layers either. But most times when I'm talking to people and I go, well, how do we know dinosaurs are millions of years old? Like we're told that they're millions of years old, like 66 million years old. Who's heard that number? Who's heard 65? Okay, those of you that are on the 65 side, we're changing. Everything's being changed. It's 66 now. Just want to update you. It's 66, okay? So quit using 65, it's 66, all right? What happened 66 million years ago? What's that little thing flying through the sky there in the picture? Asteroid, right? Where did the asteroid hit? Come on, what did you learn? Talk to me. Where did it hit the planet? Gulf of America. Gulf of America. Come on now. Okay. I'm sorry. That is totally the first time I've ever corrected anybody. I'm so sorry. Because I get corrected all the time, just so you know. I haven't got it in my head, but it did that moment. Okay, so the Yucatan Peninsula, right? There's this strike area. Did you know I can show you papers of geologists? Not Christian geologists, geologists. that don't agree that's even an asteroid strike. Oh. Like, there's good evidence it's not an asteroid strike. Oh. Rot-row. So if that's not the asteroid strike, what happens to this idea of the dinosaurs? Oh. Well, now we've got to open our mind back up a little. We got to keep studying. All those layers of rock that have all those fossils, everybody understands and agrees those layers are laid down by water. Water. Was there an event in history? Just spitballing this morning. Was there an event in history that had a lot of water that might have impacted the entire planet? Is there anything in history that might suggest that? Oh, this book, right? Like, this book says there was a record of a worldwide what? Flood. How long did it last, church? Yes, that was a great answer. That was three. Over a year. Over a year. That was a total test, because I know I studied that with you 2 years ago. That was a total test. Total. And that was okay, I'll give you a half a point. Okay, so over a year that lasted. We've learned in our worldview most times it's 40 days, 40 nights. That's what gets stuck. Oh, no. It's a little much, much longer than that. Over a year. Took 150 days to flood the entire planet. 150 days. Like, it was gradually flooding what land was there for 150 days. That means it was going to not bury everything at once. It's going to bury things as the floodwaters rose, tsunami after tsunami. Whatever the case was, tidal flows. We still had the moon. What's the moon do for us? It moves the water around the planet. We still had that going on during the floods. So there was high and low tides. We have to assume that. Bringing water in and back out and in and back out. Burying things where they lived. What do we find first at the bottom of the fossil record? Marine stuff. Bottom of the ocean. Then what do we find? Stuff that would have lived in swampy areas, amphibians, reptiles by and large. But wait. Do we always see just dinosaurs together? Oh, no. See, I was taught when I was you guys' age, dinosaurs lived at this period of time and they lived kind of by themselves and whatever, and they had to have died because for evolution to work well, they had to go away so that mammals could rise. And so we don't find mammals with dinosaurs. That's my technical answer to that. Case in point. Focus. That's a dinosaur and a mammal together. This right here is the dinosaur, Cetacosaurus. It's similar to a ceratopean dinosaur. So the triceratops, the frilled head dinosaurs, they were not all triceratops. Some of them were pinoceratops. They had different numbers of horns, so we give them different names, different species. There were some that didn't have any horns at all. They just barely have a little frill. This is a Cetacosaurus. This Cetacosaurus is, the news article said, was being attacked by a mammal. That's a mammal the size of a dog-ish. So listen, all I had ever heard, when I started to hear about mammals and dinosaurs living together, here's what you get. A rat about this big. Mm-mm. No, we had big mammals too. So in case you haven't heard this, the newsletter article said, well, the mammals attacking the dinosaur. Or are they grasping for whatever they could grasp as they're being buried alive in a flood? Worldview. Worldview matters. Do you trust the Word of God's history? Do you trust that the flood actually happened? See, if we were made on the same day as dinosaurs, as we're going to talk about tomorrow night, then there should be evidence that we've lived together. Like, is there any kind of an evidence that we've lived together? Like, maybe we should find tracks together, like dinosaur tracks and human tracks. Oh, yeah, we've got those too. That's a human right foot stepped across by an Acrocanthosaurus dinosaur. Might suggest we've lived together. Might I throw that out for your worldview this morning? Do you trust the Word of God's history? A few years ago, I've shared this before here, a few years ago in the fossil record, early to mid-90s, they're finding things in Montana, dinosaur bones. Specifically, this one was a T-Rex femur bone. In this T-Rex femur bone, they realized the middle wasn't rock. See, fossils are rocks. Say that with me. Fossils are rocks. They're something that used to be alive or organic, whatever, and then it slowly permineralized or petrified into rock. So the idea had always been for a long, long time, all fossils are totally rock. As much as that may be the case once in a while, you know what we're finding now? Not the case all the time. This paleontologist pulls this femur bone of a T-Rex, hind upper leg bone, out of the rock, breaks it in half, getting it out. Not a normal practice you like to do, right? If you have a, right? The layer of rock they pulled the femur bone out of, their idea, their worldview was that layer of rock is roughly 90 million years old. Did the rock have the date on it? Did the fossil have the date on it? No, that's total guess based on worldview. Pull it out. Pull the material out of the middle. Under the microscope, this material, it doesn't appear to be rock. Mary Schweitzer describing this on 60 Minutes, what she has found. Like, this was a total surprise. Total surprise. As we're talking about history this morning, do you trust the Bible's history? See, roughly 4,300 years ago, that's what the Bible says in time when the flood happened from now. 4,300 years back in time is when the flood is happening on the earth. Okay, everybody following me? If that's what's laying down the fossil record, and this T-Rex, this femur bone, over the course of the last 4,300 years, the outside was becoming rock, but the inside is not. Still original, stretchy material. Also found in the same T-Rex, blood cells. Blood cells. Still red. The pigmentation of the hemoglobin wasn't even gone. I'm here to tell you, when you read the papers about this first discovery, they are over and over again. They're like, never expected to see that. Like, this was a total surprise. Like, exciting surprise, right? Because at the same time as this stuff's being discovered, we had this movie series out called Jurassic Park. So when this hit the news, those of us that actually heard it were like, "Wow! We're going to have a Jurassic Park." Nah. Because that, you know, having a red blood cell is one thing. Digging in a nucleus, finding DNA, like, that's a whole nother ball game. Whole nother ball game. So the Joe Dirt Dinosaur Museum. Are you with me? Phone? I'm walking through the museum, and I come around the corner, and I see this. So this is a field jacket. See the white part? That's like the plaster field jacket. So when you find a dinosaur or other fossil in the fossil record, you don't just generally pull it out of the fossil record or out of the rock matrix, what we call the rock matrix, all the rock around it that it's buried in. Generally speaking, you'll chip away, and then you'll put this jacket around it to protect it, get it back to the laboratory. Then paintbrushes, Dremel tools, dental tools, dental drills, you know. Yeah, does that bring back a worldview memory right there? Just that? Okay, so you take them, and then you painstakingly pull the fossil out of that rock. So kid students, focus. If you're thinking paleontology someday, if you are not a patient person, probably not your field, okay? Takes great patience to be a paleontologist. Get it done. I'm walking to the museum. I see this little, can you see him? See the bones? That's about this big. Ish. Okay? It's in this case. I'm like, oh, cool. Look at that collection. Like, it just looks like it's just like, just mashed in there. Right? All these bones. I'm like, very cool. And I'm reading the sign. And I read the sign. And it says it's a Hypacrosaurus stubingri. And I went, Hypacrosaurus, Hypacrosaurus. That, like, the name is ringing a bell with me. But I'm like, it's a faint bell. Ding, 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 you know. And then I'm watching, and then it gongs in my head. I pull out my phone, and I start searching. I'm like, wait a minute, Hypacrosaurus, MOR 548. I'm like, I was trying to keep myself, remember, I'm in a museum with a bunch of families and kids, and here's this old guy going through. So to get all, you know, that would be stressful for some. But I'm getting, because I'm checking my research, because the bone out of that pile right there, the top of this slide, the picture's along the top row. Back in 2020, that's the first observable DNA of a dinosaur. Was out of a bone out of that fossil I was looking at in that case. And you know what was amazing? They mentioned nothing about it in their exhibit. I'm like, why wouldn't you be screaming about that? like, why wouldn't there be like big signs with that picture on it, right? Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow! Inside, I was calm. I was like, look at the DNA, whoa, right here. Actually, I didn't put the picture in. Oh, the one, so, do you see that little bone over there on the right-hand side? This one right here, that's the actual bone. You see that right there? That's the actual bone that came out of that group that has actual observed DNA in it. You think DNA, let's just take a wild guess. You think DNA is going to last 100 million years? I understand most of us are not studiers of DNA. Most testing that's coming out now is saying maybe upper threshold, we're talking several hundred thousand years, maybe. Maybe. So what does that immediately do to the date of what that dinosaur, when he lived? Are you connecting dots with me this morning? My encouragement this morning is, we're talking about biblical worldview and dinosaurs, trusting the Word of God or not. That's what I'm asking you to do. Trust the Word of God or not. If you came in here this morning with the idea that the fossil record or dinosaurs somehow says we can't trust the history and the Word of God, I'm here to tell you, it's not true. I got a couple more. Last time I was here, I shared about my friend, Dr. Brian Thomas, his work. He at the time had taken 16 samples out of the geologic column. Okay, church, can you read that from back there? Okay, the word's not really important. A lot of dinosaurs there listed. Do you see the M dates? Those are from 10 million to 290 million based on where they were pulled out of the geologic column. That's their traditional date, because you pulled it out of that layer, it's got to be that old. Everybody with me? 10 to 290 million years old. he had them carbon tested. Because, see, here's the other piece that always gets brought to me. But, Matt, there's radiometric dating. There's this radioisotope dating. It always gives dates that's older than 6,000 years for stuff. Like, how does that, then, which one's right? Which one's always right, church? That always. This is a test from 2 years ago. Okay, class. What's the maximum threshold for carbon dating? What's like the upper range of date that's accurate? Come on, somebody. 100,000 is once in a while, but really not accurate to 100,000. 50,000. Very good. Who said that? Let me see you. Boom. Star. A plus. Is that coming back to anybody? Remember the 50,000 threshold? You're like, no, he's never said that ever. I did, but that's okay. All right, so 50,000, like beyond 50,000 years, the amount of radiocarbon is what it's called, the percentage of radiocarbon in something, we can't detect it. So we can't give an accurate date above that. Once in a while, it'll go to 100, but then there's a little asterisk, and a whole other thing. Okay, so 50,000. How many of the samples have stars next to them, church? All 16. How many are under? Can you read what the line is that's not the edge, but the next one in? Anybody read that date up there at the top? 50,000 years. All stars are below what threshold? 50,000 years. That means there's a percentage of modern carbon in every sample that is within the accuracy of carbon dating. There are all kinds of assumptions with carbon dating to get those dates. All kinds of assumptions. Don't have time this morning. Listen to me. But what does that immediately say about millions of years of how old those are? Come on. Not possible, guys. Physically not possible. How many read this on the news? Yeah, this doesn't make the news. You know why? What does this just do to every geological time age for all that whole column? What's that do? It should at least put it in question. Should make some of us go, but wait a minute. But I learned about that. Those rocks are like millions of years, 100 million years old, but we're finding percentage of modern carbon in them. In the things that were alive buried in those layers. By the way, in case you just think that these 16 samples are like, well, that was nice. He did 30 plus more. Guess what every sample has? A percentage of modern carbon in it. Every sample. When you actually question the radiometric dating laboratory that does the carbon dating, you know what? If you actually ask them, you point blank ask them, hey, have you ever tested anything that was organic in other words, living at some point or associated with something living on the planet, have you ever tested anything without percentage of modern carbon in it? You know what they're going to tell you? No. Never tested anything carbon blank. Do you trust it? In this church, 2 years ago, I shared Ryan and I's research first. 2 years ago. Who remembers this? I hope. I was a tad excited at the moment. That hasn't waned much. In a bone downstairs in the museum, an actual dinosaur bone from an Edmontosaurus, we were able to find it, drill a hole, take it to the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, Texas, to their dinosaur discovery lab, core out a hole in the side of it, put that material onto a slide, sand it down paper less than paper thin, microscopic thin, so that you can send light through it, because Dr. Thomas, his research was not only in finding finding radiocarbon, modern carbon in samples. It was also his doctoral thesis was in finding collagen in ancient bone. And when we find collagen in bone, it you put it in this very special microscope, and when we spin it, the oranges and the browns, they will turn to blue when the presence of... When I was here last, what we were instructed to tell you is this. When we find blue, when we find bright blue in a bone tissue, that's the presence of a remnant of collagen. Remember me saying that at all last time? Remnants of collagen. So it's remnants of collagen. At the point when we were discovering this, we did not know for sure that it was actual collagen. It could have just been a remnant or a leftover from actual collagen. Are you following me? Woo! Woo! As of a year and a half ago. Are you listening to me? All studies have been done, peer-reviewed. That is not remnants of collagen. That is actual observable collagen. like in the bone downstairs in your gym, there is actual collagen still in that bone. It is non-fossilized. We have another bone sitting next to it. We do have that sitting next to it, right? The other bone? This summer in June, we're going back to the lab. The other bone sitting next to it, we're going to sample that one too. Remember we had two dinosaur exhibits traveling? Yeah, we only have one bone cord. Well, we need another one. So we're going to do that one too. Guess what? I'm just going to take a wild guess that we're going to find. Collagen. Collagen. But over and over again, We're told over and over again, can't trust the history here. We're told over and over again, the fossil record says we can't trust 6,000 years. We can't. Listen to me. If you're putting anything in your worldview that says 6,000 can't be right, you literally are putting something else above the absolute truth of the Word of God. I'm here to challenge this week. Everywhere the Lord opens a door, that's what I'm called to do. Were you paying attention to the communion meditation? Or were you just checking out? Because see, here, my brother shared a very, very important point. He shared my ending to my entire message. It was done. God took care of that first. Sin came with death. Turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Come on. Go with me. I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since death came through a man, notice it doesn't say through an asteroid. Death didn't come because of extinction. Death didn't come because a T-Rex was eating an Edmontosaurus or another mammal. Death came through a man, it says. The resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Who's the man that death came through? Adam first, right? Death started with Adam. He was the first, right? He was the first man. Started with him. How many people have died since then? Just everybody, right? Okay. So look at the next verse. For as in Adam all die, because how many of us have sinned? What does Romans chapter 6 say? All. Chapter 3, chapter 5. We can go through several chapters in Romans. Talking about all the sinning, right? For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made what? Alive. Okay, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. We just celebrated his death and his what? Burial. and his... Well, that was so not exciting. You do understand, the reason we're here is because he resurrected. Like the reason we've devoted like a whole Sunday to it every year in commemoration of it is because, well, that's why we're here. Like, and we just get like apathetic about it. Well, we have no room to be apathetic about it. We literally have no life and no hope without that. Like, if we only remember he died and was buried, we're done. This is useless. Our hope is useless. The reason we can have hope. The reason we come here is because, what did it say? We're made alive in who? In Christ. We are dead in our sin. We're dead. We're dead. But because of the resurrection, listen to me. Listen to me. He laid it all out in his meditation. In your worldview, if you've got blood-containing, kaya nefesh creatures going extinct and dying before Adam does what? Sins. You have a problem with the cross, and you never connected those dots. Because if death was already here, why is he physically dying on a cross? Why does he physically have to be buried in... Like, none of that makes any sense. He could have just spiritually, he could have just symbolically died somehow and just went, symbolically, you have life. No. The only reason baptism has the symbolic nature that it has in our life is because he was buried. And he rose. Have you studied Romans chapter 6? We are buried with him in baptism. The old self is gone. And the new self rises. Like, if he didn't physically go through that, that is meaningless. This death thing is huge, guys. I just glossed over it for years in my worldview. Did not understand the story of these dinosaurs were totally going against this history. And if that's the case, then we have a problem explaining the cross. Legitimacy of it, why he even did it that way. So this morning, in this place, don't let sin and death be it. Because there's resurrection. There's life. Don't miss it. Don't miss the opportunity to take the gift. The gift. His name is Jesus. He recorded history so that we may know who he is and trust who he is. Genesis sets the stage for who he is. Don't miss it. Pray with me. Lord, I praise you this morning for who you are. Lord, I'm thankful that you died. You died for me. You paid the ransom for my sin. Lord, I deserve death and eternity away from you. But Lord, you have always had a plan. Lord, I praise you this morning with my brothers and sisters. Lord, we praise you for having that plan. Lord, we have hope today because you rose. You are not dead, you are alive. Lord, we praise you. Lord, in this place today or online, Lord, right now, Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know you and hasn't accepted that gift of life, Lord, please spur them to ask questions, to know who you are. Lord, touch them, speak to them. Lord, please help us to trust the Word of God. Lord, you wrote it for us so that we may know you. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, we're going to be doing creation the next two nights, and then my colleague Ryan will be dealing with post-flood life. What's the Bible say about post-flood? That whole chapter 11, remember Babel? Yeah, he's going to talk about Babel, and he's going to talk about this thing. Have you heard of an ice age before? He's going to talk about it, but in reference to this. And then listen, Wednesday night, he's got a tough message Wednesday night for you. I say it's tough. It's tough like this because we are being inundated today with this idea that different skin colors means different things. Easy. Wednesday night, he's going to show, be here Wednesday night. It's called the evolution of racism. You might hear something that you've never heard before. Stuff that doesn't get put in textbooks, that doesn't hit the news. Again, that can be cited and shown to you. Like it's not a figment of our imagination. Don't miss Wednesday night. Might see each other a little differently after Wednesday night. Blessings.